All right, so we're gonna now enter the sugya of Egla Rufa, or at least some of the Egla Rufa, some aspects of Egla Rufa. Okay, just to give you a little heads up, what we're gonna be focusing on. All right, so we're gonna be taking up the issue of what is a halal. All right, that's tricky. Or the state. Well, actually, let me get a little background. I assume you guys read the Psukim and the Rambams just to get some basic information. But we know Egla Rufa is a very strange institution because obviously it would never work in today's society, because we live in a very violent society. In a sort of utopian society, what would happen? So you'd come across, let's just make it simple, you come across a corpse, right? But obviously there's some evidence that this thing was killed, that the person was killed, okay? We'll get into some of that a little later on, but he was killed. And as a result, where is his body? His body's outside of a city. You find it in a field, okay? Remember, there's evidence of murder, because if the body was just stomped dead, don't ask me how you check these things, but if it was just dead, what would you be chayav to do? Right there. Okay, that's a mace mitzvah. We're not saying that. We're saying that this is a murdered corpse, all right? So now, the next step is that you're going to have to measure, right, medida, the measure from the corpse to the closest city. We're going to spend a lot of time on that. The closest city, okay? And wherever the closest city is, they're the ones responsible for producing the Egla Arufa. Okay, they have to produce the animal. And then you have this sort of ceremony by Nachal Eitan with all these weird things, which that we're not going to get into at all. So our focus is going to be more on everything from the discovery of the body through the measuring. That's what we're going to be focused on for the next couple weeks. Okay, those are the main things, all right? From discovery of the body to the point of medida, of measuring. Okay?
So exciting. Well...
cards on the table. First of all, the first part here, the svaras are interesting. I think some of them are nicer than others. It's very difficult because it's hard to have a good intuition in this area. Right? This is not like, again, like when it comes to the stuff you've done in Hezek Re'ia, you have an intuition. It kind of makes sense. It makes sense when to protect yourself from someone looking in. This is very bizarre. It's kind of like what I call it's both judicial and religious, you know what I mean? It's like a very funny thing. It's like it's not purely judicial because there's no actual court case here, but Beis Din is involved in some extent. But it's also kind of religious because you have like kapara and korban. So it's like it's a fusion of two very different worlds coming together. You don't see this often, okay? It's one of the ideas of Egla Rufa is that there's a certain culpability. Well, if you look at the Rambam's approach, the Rambam actually in the Morah says that the idea of Egla Rufa will produce the murderer, meaning that if you go through the whole ceremony, like the murderer will see it and he'll like come forth. Yeah. But the more general, the easier shot, I think, with all due respect to the Rambam, is more that there's a certain culpability that society has if a murder takes place, meaning that what produced the murderer, it's not just his own bechira, but rather there was something about the environment that the murderer lived in that allowed this to take place. So because of that, there's a kapara that's required, right? It's a kapara that's required. But keep in mind, like every halachic institution, like every single one, this is the part that people don't like. Like every halachic institution, there's a precision here. There is a precision required to make this work. Okay, I sometimes run into problems when I try to explain to people. Like there's a nice philosophical idea, but the halachic system demands the same level of precision like as in any other institution. And you'll see it's almost hyper precise how Egla Rufa works. Okay, there's two areas we're gonna dovetail into. Or out of, I'm not sure the right word.
Dovetail.
That relate to Egla Rufa, but are actually very big areas. Okay, one of them, which I think you guys will like a lot, is the machlokus of Rov or Karov. Okay, that's going to be a lot of fun. Which happens to be Bava Basra, by the way. So you have the Gemara for that too. The other one is going to be about what's called Efshar Litzamsem or Efshar Litzamsem, which also is through Egla Rufa is also a great area. That's a question of, can we measure things that happen simultaneously? Not, let's put Einstein relativity to the side. Question is, can we do such a thing? And you'll see why that comes up at Egla Rufa also. So that's going to be fun. I mean, there's going to be like a couple cases, then we're going to go into Rov and Karov, and then we're also going to go into Efshar Litzamsem, which are very nice, very, very nice areas. One point we're going to get into, which is also it's a very difficult point, which is to what extent is there an actual investigation here? Meaning, we are kind of like being detectives, but not quite. When you're measuring to get to the closest city, you are, in a sense, saying that's where the murderer came from. But remember, you can never identify the murderer because you don't have witnesses, right? But so there is some detective work here. There's some judicial phenomenon taking place. So let's start with the Mishnah Mem Dalet Amud Beis. But when it comes to the Mishnah, I want to start. What I care about is starting from Nimsa. Okay.
We're doing the Rambam today.
Yeah, well, see what says Nimsa. Even today, I want to spend more time just gathering information, just a little bit of Svara. Right. But Nimsa Tamun.
So Nimsa Tamun, Bagal.
What does that mean?
So if you find a dude that's under rubble.
Okay, so you find the Chalal. The Chalal is the murdered corpse or murdered person. You find it underneath a...
collapse something or rubble or something?
Well, yeah, a pile of rocks. Okay, a pile of rocks. Right. Or...
Oh, Teloy Elon.
Or what do you find?
It's
hanging from the tree.
Oh, tzap al pnei amayim.
So what does that mean?
It's floating on water.
Okay. What's halacha?
Lo hayu orphan. You don't do a glorify with them.
Right. So, of course, that's obviously odd. Why is that strange?
Because seemingly it's not a dead body. The fact that there's a dead body, it's a dead body.
Yeah, well, you're, like,
I don't care about the location or how it's dead.
Well, it's a dead body. Not
well, okay. Dead look, dead look, dead. Well, okay. Let's be careful. Okay. Before we get to the drush. Let's take the Evan, okay? So what would you think in the Evan case? Why would remember what's our goal in doing Medida? What's our goal?
Understanding who's
right. So we're trying to measure. We need to measure from where the person was killed to the closest city, right? That's what we have to measure from where the person was killed. All right. So let's say now if it's Safa Panayamayim, what's the problem?
It wasn't killed there.
We don't know where he is, right? Also, what about the Elon case?
Went to the closest tree.
Swing back.
But you right. Okay, well, you can't, right, because you have to measure from the body. The body has to be located on the ground, right? It's not. It doesn't have a location.
That's why we can't do a tree.
And what about Galba Evan? What about that?
So
you'd assume he was moved. He was moved
right,
to be. Point is that, as you'll see, these are all problems in Medida. We'll finish the Mishnah. Right. Well, Shidamar ba'adama velo tama megal. Right. So on the ground, the corpse is on the ground, exposed on the ground, and not covered up by rocks.
Right.
So no fell. No fell means it fell on the ground and not hung on the tree.
And besides that, velo tzaf al pnei hamayim.
So in a field and not floating on water. Okay. Keep going.
So nimsa sabof le saper.
Now what's that?
That's a border.
Oh, okay. Right. But it's interesting. It's close to the non-Jewish border. Okay, Sfar means it's next to. The Gemara is going to explain why, but it's next to the. Or you find it between Israel, let's say, because remember this only applies in Israel. You find it between Israel and let's say Jordan. Well, that's a bad example. Syria. Okay, and meaning that's close to the Syrian border, or.
Ol Ir Sherubo Goyim, or in a city that majority of them are Goyim. Ol Ir She'ein Ba Basin.
Okay. Right. Now, just out of curiosity, why would you think if you found the body close to a non-Jewish city, we don't do Egla Rufa? Because what does Halacha assume?
They
killed him. Okay. Non-Jews are immoral.
Are just okay with
what?
That?
What?
Why are
I don't know, but we're okay with that. All right. Non-Jews. Then you have an interesting thing of locking Beis Din. That'll be interesting. We're going to take that up. Finally, the Mishnah says, Ein Modedim. Okay, so what's problematic about the last line in the Mishnah there? I mean, the Mishnah says le'ir she'ein ba beizdin lo hayu orphan, and then it says ein modedin el le'ir she'ein ba beizdin. What's strange about that? What it sounds like the Mishnah is presenting the negative and the positive, but you don't need both. Okay, all right. So let's pick up from the Gemara. The reason why I skipped all the way to this part of the Gemara is because the entire blot deals with drushas of all sorts, and I want to get to the tachlis stuff. Yeah, he's raised a good point about the Beit Din because. What do? We actually would go to a city further away that has a Beis Din.
Right?
Right. So you're going to see, it's like a very funny thing. We're looking for the closest city, but we're willing to suspend proximity if we can make sure there's a Beis Din in the city. So if we have New York, well, actually, I'll make an example. If we have like town A is very close to the corpse, town B is a little further away, but town B has a Beis Din, we go to town B. Well, how's that Krova? Okay. The Gemara says Tanur upon it. Okay, so let's investigate the Chala. What is this Chala?
Right.
What is a Chala? Oh, I said, slow down, Sam. Chal, what does Rashi say?
Excellent question.
I know, and very problematic, too.
Right. Where is Rashi?
Okay, look on the right side, okay? It's three lines and a narrow lines down. It says Chalal.
Chalal, so lo mikre ela bekli barzel ke'ein
chareb. Okay, so Rashi is, and I'm going to put my cards on the table, and don't get discouraged. I do not know how to define this. Rashi, you'll see the other side in a second. Rashi maintains that what's a halal? A halal is only someone who's murdered with a sword. Okay, now
specifically
a metal sword. Okay, now meaning that if you shot the guy, right? If you found him strangled. Well, we'll see in a second. If you found him in any other thing other than, well, that's for sure. But anything other than being killed with a sword, Rashi would hold it's a problem. Now I know why Rashi says that. I just don't understand the svara. Why does Rashi say that? So chalal v'lo chanuk. Okay, so if you find what? If you find the corpse, the body what?
Strangulated,
right? Right. I assume what that means is that the difference is that. I mean, again, putting in modern day terms, the difference is: did you come across a guy where he's got stab wounds versus he's got ligations over his neck, right? Yeah, abrasions, right? Right. Okay. I guess. I mean, that's how you would know such a thing. That's also interesting. What's mefarper? What? So here it means that what?
He's in the throes of death.
Okay. Now why would it exclude? Now that's a very strange situation because what does that mean? But he's literally. I mean, this is the case. The case is I come across. We'll use Klar. I come across Klar's body. It's writhing. Right. He's like shaking. The last, right? I come across it at that moment, and then 1 second later, he dies. No Egla Rufa. No Egla Rufa. Now, how far do you go with this? Again, I'm just trying to help you guys set things up. Take a look at that Yerushalmi. Just switch to Yerushalmi real quickly. Right, same thing, right. Right, yeah. Bleeding out, and he's still alive. Yeah. Okay, so what happens now? The Yerushalmi takes a very interesting track here. The Yerushalmi says you come across the again, Klar's like you're walking along the path and you see Klar writhing on the ground. Okay, and then what happens? You keep walking and you come back, and when you come back, what do you notice? Lubala Karzwan velo matzo, and the body's not there anymore. So what do you say? Ani Omer. What? The Gemara says that. What would you say? You would say that the assumption is that a miracle took place, and turns out what you thought was Klar at death's doorstep, and turns out a miracle took place and he was saved. What the heck is the Gemara talking about? Yeah, right. It's just like that's crazy, right? Right, and therefore there's no Egla Rufa to do. Okay. All right, we'll come back to Mefarches later. Okay, but think about that. That's a very interesting idea. Okay, very interesting idea. What's the other case that you would? What's mefarches? Mefarches also means let's say you were also like in the throes of death, and I saw you in Makom A, and then I come back later on, and you're like 5 feet away in Makom B,
dead.
Right. So where do you modate from? Where do you measure from? Okay.
Sorry, this is death throes, one location, and then.
And then die somewhere else.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was still alive, right? So Adama, Lo Tamon Begal.
Begal.
So. On the ground and not covered by stones.
No fell.
Good. Was fallen and not hanging from a tree. But Sadeh below the top al pnei hamayim and is on in the field and not floating on water.
Okay. So far so good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now the Gemara says, Rabbi El Azar Omer.
Omer Bekulon, Im Haya Halal Orphan. In all these cases, if it's halal, then you do Egla Rufa.
Except for which case? Let's be careful. Just got to keep track of things here. Rebbe Lazar holds at in the Adama by the he ignores the drush of the rocks Tali be'ilan. He ignores Tzaf up in Amayim. He says in all those it's still Egla Rufa, and he also says that in the case of Mefarper you would do Egla Rufa. The only thing he disagrees about is Chenek. He would say if you the only case he agrees with the Chachamim is Chenek, meaning that he agrees that if you found the body strangulated, you would not do Egla Rufa, okay? But in all the other things that the Chachamim are talking about, he would disagree, okay? Now, of course, that's really strange because what's the question asking Rebbe Lazar? What's the question asking Rebbe Lazar? Oh, right, exactly. I mean, it's a very difficult machlokas. What does he do with the drushas? And the Gemara is bothered by that. Yeah, Asher. Go on.
So, Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda. Amar Lo Rabbi Elazar.
All right, so the Chachamim say to Rebbe Lazar, okay? They're not happy at his position. What do they say?
Be'ashpa.
Now you have a funny case. So would you agree with the following? Okay, let's say you came across a strangulated corpse, okay, that's lying in the dumpster. Okay, so I come across Klar. It's clear Klar was strangled to death. and his body was dumped in a dumpster. Yeah. Now, so the Gemara says, right? Sha'in.
That you do not do Egla Rufa. So Amo.
Would you say that? Would you say that you wouldn't do Egla Rufa? Meaning that here, again, what do you have here? It's not floating on water. It's not hanging from the tree, right?
But it's not on the ground.
It's not on the ground either. It's in the dumpster. Right. So it doesn't fit in the categories that the pasuk says. In other words, it's not buried under rocks. It's not totally be Elon, no. And it's not It's not Safa Bnei Mayim. But it's also not on the ground. It's in this dumpster. Okay, it's covered with garbage. Okay, but it's also found strangulated. It's in garbage. Yeah. So what does the Gemara say? Right, so he says you'd have to agree that it's halal and not strangulated. Okay, Hachanami, what?
Why can't they both coexist? Why is it one or the other?
Let's keep going. Hachanami.
Hachanami adama below tamon
begal. Okay, so what's ultimately the question the Gemara is asking? He can't have it both ways. Meaning, how could Rebbe Lazar come along and say, I'm going to die? I mean, you got to tease the question out. It's a simple question. I'm not going to really answer this question head on because you can't really define this type of question. But the question is like this. The question is, Rebbe Lazar, it's the old, he wants to have the cake and eat it too. Because he darshens that halal and that chanuk, right? The pasuk says, you find a halal and then ba'adama, da-da-da-da. All right? So let's say there are four words to darshan, okay? A, B, C, and D. What does the Chachamim say? Each one, I darshan something out. I learned something from A and from B and from C and from D. Whatever, fine, five things. I don't care. Who cares? Forget that. Come on, focus. So four things, okay? Four things. Now, one second. Rav Elazar does not learn from A, does not learn from B, does not learn from C, but does learn from D. So the Chachamim are saying, you can't do that. You can't like cherry pick a drush from the pasuk and ignore the other things. Can't do that. That's like a violation of drush. Meaning, that's a separate question, why? But the Chum's question is that it doesn't work. You can't say chalav v'lo chanuk, but then ignore adama and mayim and all the other ones. I think you'll understand the question from the answer. The answer is very simple. Rebbe Lazar.
Amar. He says chalav yisira ksiv.
Okay.
He says chalav an extra time.
Yeah, he says that you're talking about the wrong chalav, meaning that he doesn't darshan anything for that first pasuk. Because it turns out the word chalav appears in other verses, right? So the Gemara's answer is, it's not that he chose to darshan out halal from Pasuk 1, right? And then ignore the other things. No, he just chose a different Pasuk to darshan out from halal.
Which one?
Who cares? No. Point is, not that one.
Or the third.
In fact, it's not a svara, but I'm saying you could push Rav Lazar a little further, that Rav Lazar is saying that since the word halal is repeated so many times, clearly the Torah is trying to tell us something. This and nothing else. But Adama only appears once. You know, or whatever, or Nofel, right? So I'm just saying, like without, Rav Elazar is going to say is, forget, you don't have to darshan this out. It's pretty clear the fact that the Torah uses the word halal over and over and over again. It's trying to tell you it's this and nothing else. Okay? But whatever, you don't even have to say that. I'm just saying you could read into Rav Elazar that way. So Rashi fits into the language of the Gemara very nicely, but his position is, in my opinion, is impossible to understand, certainly on the surface. Because Rashi's saying that the only case of, what does chalal mean? Chalal means killed by sword, all right? Okay, now, it fits nicely into the Gemara, because the Gemara says, and not chenek, okay? But why would Rashi limit himself to only that case? What's pushing him to say that? Now, look at the Meiri, okay? Look at the Meiri.
Right. Is that keeping me read?
Yes. Einden egla rufa.
Einden egla rufa, namor ella kishemo tzien oso polo.
Okay, now what does halal mean? So Rotelomar. Okay, so now you got to read. You got to be careful how he's to read it. See, what he's saying is that it's clear, not that a sword was the only kli used to kill him, but rather what? He was killed, right? Meaning, Sha'al kol panim al yidei adam naaseh, right? Meaning that it's not that it has to be charev, rather there's clear evidence that what happened. He was murdered. He was murdered. He was killed by sword. He was stabbed by sword. What? What does chalal mean? Chalal means that nase al yedei adam. That's the key. That it's clear when you come across the body, right, that somebody killed this person. Ah, But so what does the Gemara mean when it says the lo al yidei chanek? So look at the Miri says, aval im nimsa chanuk.
Right. Emma nimsa chanuk, eina nizakin.
Lo.
Shama me'ila.
Mace. Stop. But when it comes to chanek, what does chanek mean?
We don't stop and do
this
stuff.
It doesn't mean he was... Okay, again, in Rashi's way of learning, it means the method of murder. That's how the Meiri's learning. Come on. Me'eshema me'elov mace. What does chanek here mean in the Gemara?
He died of something on his own.
I mean, he choked to death. Choked to death. Okay? Again, let's push the... From his own. On his own.
Oh, like literally.
He was eating a peanut and he choked on
the... Right.
To himself.
Right. Okay, so... So the way... Now, the Meiri does not fit in naturally into the Lashon of the Gemara, but he's certainly easier to define. Right. So the Meiri saying is, what does chalal mean? Chalal means murdered, okay? That comes to exclude chenek. Chenek means... Well, we got to be careful. Chenek here means is that... Well, I don't want to give... I'm just going to translate the Meiri literally. Chenek means that when I, if I see him strangling, if I see him choke... I don't know how you would determine that he choked to death. That's a separate issue. But or if you see him choked, you can say... You can't rule out that he wasn't murdered. You can't rule that out, right? You can't rule it out. But what you could say is there's a chance. Also, he choked on his own. I couldn't find this, and I couldn't get this on the Barilam. But the Yad Ramah, also Rishon, he actually goes as far as to say that it's not. What does challah mean? Challah mean that challah means blood actually came out of the corpse. When you come across the body, you actually see blood, right? It's not enough. If you come across a body that's just lying dead, it could be a choke to death. You need to see blood, right? Excellent point by David. David's noticing something here very early on. It took me a little longer to notice that. Very good. David's noticing that the, you'll see the Gemara is trying its hardest to never have Eglah Rufa take place. All right, as you'll see. Wait till we get to the Gemara Baba Basra. Then you'll realize that Eglah Rufa is probably as rare as Ben Sora Mara. Okay? What? In other words, Rashi wants to say that what does challah mean? Challah means sword, metal sword. And therefore, that excludes every other type of murder you come across, right? Whereas the Meiri says, no. Chalo means murdered, right? And chenek here means, v'lo chenek means not murdered. So what's the machlokas? Rashi, the furthest I can go with Rashi, I can't go further than this without speculating. The furthest I go with Rashi is that Rashi, for whatever reason why, holds that chalo is a halachic chalo shame, right? Meaning like, just like any other halachic type of phenomenon. Meaning, when he sees the word chalo, he abstracts a specific chalo shame from that, right? Like chalal is a different type of mace, right? It's a different type of mace. It's a whole new phenomenon of mace. I just don't know why he wants to say that. What? Chalal, to Rashi's defense, chalal means normally someone killed by sword. It's just really weird. What bothers me about that? There's normally, I love halacha chalo shames, right? I'm a big hadas halacha chalo shame, tzitzis halacha chalo shame, right? But the problem here is that it's just so weird because it's almost worse than David's question. It's like, why would you ever want to limit Eglah Rufa to simply a case of a guy killed by a sword? That's just so weird. Like, why? You know, that's what bothers you about. It's easy to give a svara saying halacha chalo shein. That's easy. But what's pushing Rashi to say that? I mean, by doing so, you're actually limiting Eglah Rufa to, especially today, to like very few instances. I'll tell you the reason why. I don't mind saying we want to avoid it, but I also don't want to say it becomes symbolic. I don't like those kind of answers. And Rashi's road is like, other than the fact that halal is a term used in the previous area, which refers to those who die in battle, which normally is done by sword, and you can point to other instances in Tanakh where it means that, it's still very funny that, again, you could just say it's halacha chalo shein, that's easy, but why would Rashi say that? I'm not sure, yeah. Or the Meiri. The Meiri's much more intuitive. What's the Meiri saying? What's chalal mean?
Oh, you could tell somebody was killed by somebody else, murdered somebody else.
It's a category.
No, which means that, right, so, okay, when you say that, though, it means we need to say that this death is not natural. Meaning, by chenek doesn't mean I know the guy died by natural means. It just means that I can't rule out a natural cause of death. But what chalal means, the only conclusion is it's unnatural, all right? Of course you will. What do you mean? So that's why I think the Yad Ramah adds in this idea of bleeding. Because I think the Yad Ramah actually wants a simon. Meaning it's not enough just to say, I see the body and it's unnatural. He wants like a simon. Like blood out of the body means it's a simon. Right, exactly. Right, it's unnatural.
I'd rather.
V'chein. V'yichya. Okay, so listen to this, okay? So this is, again, he's taking Yerushalmi, okay? He's saying that if you come across the body, right? Listen to his language. The body is shaking still, okay? Afilu hayachal cherev. Even if the guy was stabbed, he was stabbed by the sword, right? Ein niskakin lo shemiyaso nes. We don't start measure. We don't say egla rufa has now come into play until he's actually dead. Even if the time span from shaking to death is 5 seconds, right? We don't say egla rufa now comes into existence because he's not dead, even though he's going to be dead in the next 10 seconds. So, for example, let's say David is on the ground shaking in those last movements before you die, and Clara's on his jogging routes, right? And now he jogs by the body as David is still shaking, even though, without question, you see evidence that David was stabbed. You see, it's not even a question. In fact, he's wearing a shirt that says, I was stabbed, okay? Between the blood. And you jog by, no egla rufa.
What if I watch him die? I stay in and watch life
go
out of him?
Then egla rufa, because shema yaselo neis v'yichya, because we say, even in the throes of death, there's the possibility that a miracle could take place and therefore he could live.
But if I stay by him and watch him die,
then he's chayv in egla rufa. Now, there you go, Asher. But if Clark came back and saw that David was dead, then for sure he had to do egla rufa. Right? V'hu sh'amru b'talmud amarav. So when Clar jogged by David, he was shaking, right? Then a couple days later, I'm not sure why he's a couple days later, that's what the Yerushalmi actually says, but a couple days later he comes back to the same place, and turns out he's not there. Ani Omer Nes Nase Lo V'Chaya, right?
Whoa,
you could say...
He's giving him a couple days even?
Yeah, I mean, he says, Yomim.
Well, yeah, I guess a miracle happened.
Okay, so, all right, what's the... Just factually, what's the Havamina here? Factually, what's the Havamina? Mefarper. The Meiri's way of learning Mefarper. What's the Havamina? I see David in the throes of death. He's shaking violently.
He's going to die.
He may not die.
We need to do an Egler.
No, but what's the Havamina?
He's going to die. We need an Egler.
Exactly. That who cares if he's not actually... who cares that he hasn't flatlined yet? He's dead, right? So I should be chayv in Egler Rufa. I know, but like I'm just saying that's what his Havamina is. The Maskat... But if it was as easy as what you're saying... I wish it was as easy as that, but it's not. How do you know it's not as easy as what you're saying? Because what does Yushami / Meiri say? Nase lo nes. See, that's not what... See, the Yushami should have said, he's not a chalal. That's not what it says. It says that, well, what could happen? A miracle could happen, and he lives. But that doesn't... That's crazy. So, now, what's the real question? In my opinion, what's the real question you should ask here in the Maskana?
Why do you need 100%?
You know, since when do we start incorporating nase lo nes into halacha? Slach lanu avinu. We don't do the halacha that way. What does he naselones? I mean, no. Seriously, think about the effect of this halacha in other situations. Yeah. I could start applying this to any legal situation I want to and say, what do you mean? There's a I'll put it in today's terms. There's a 0.001% chance, right? We don't construct halacha based on a 0.001% chance. That's crazy. David's point before in his intuition was 100% on. See, I think what you're gonna have to say is. You see, what's so weird about Egla Rufa? And it's a good introduction to the Sol Sugya. What's weird about it?
There's something about it that we don't want.
What I want to know is, I know, but I'm saying, how would you categorize it in the legal system? What do you mean? The problem is that we're initiating some type of judicial process, but it's not really judicial. It's what I would call extrajudicial. It's like you have a funny thing here. There's some justice aspect happening here, meaning the justice system is getting involved. There's Beis Din, there's Dayanim, there's Medida, there's actual, like, real judicial phenomenon taking place. But this thing itself is not judicial, it's extrajudicial, right? So it's almost like the Gemara is saying that we don't want to ever implement this kind of system because it's like wacky, right? I mean, you're talking about Kohanim and Korban and Dayanim. That's not how a legal system works. A legal system sticks with, you know, witnesses and judges, right? But here you have this convergence. So it could be the reason why. What does Nasel Nes mean? It doesn't mean we never would want to incorporate Nes into the halachic system. But what it's saying, though, is that we want to avoid initiating Egla Rufa at all costs. right? As much as possible. Because even though it has a place in the halachic system, it's not something we want. It's extrajudicial. We don't like extrajudicial things. We don't like that. I'll give you an example. Lahavdil, but it's a good example. It's like Kanayim Pogin Bo. Okay, if you're familiar with that halacha, we know it's by Pinchas, right? So what happened in the case of Pinchas? So Pinchas saw this terrible sin taking place, Baal Aramis, and there's another case, by the way. Baal Aramis is one case. The other case is, let's say, a Yisrael or tries to bring a Sheretz into the base of Mikdash. So the Pirchei Kahuna, the muscular Kohanim in the front of the temple, have go ahead and take this guy and beat him with lead pipes. Right? But what do they do? But they don't do what? They don't do what? What didn't Pinchas do?
He didn't ask.
He never consulted the courts. Because what happens, right? What happens when you consult the courts halachically? You cannot be Kanayim Pogimbo. Because Kanayim Pogimbo is an extrajudicial phenomenon. It's like the judicial system tolerates it, but never wants you to engage in it. To the point where if you actually engage in the judicial system to find out if you could, if Pinchas said, am I halachically allowed to do this?
No.
But by asking that question, you know what happens? He can't do it anymore, right? It's a very similar idea here. Similar idea where that, you see, like halacha has to have this in the place because God said so, but at the same time, we never want it to be executed. So I think that's why it's not Salonais. Of course, the guy's dead. He's dead. But at the end of the day, what you're saying by certainty, it's not that we need to be certain that he's dead. It's more that we want to be certain before we say the Mechai of Egla Rufa comes into existence, right? We don't want to make use of the system. It's not a good thing. Okay, it's circumventing a normal legal process, and we don't like that.